This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at WorldSweeper.com, and I'm speaking with Jim Weinberg. Jim is the president of Professional Cleaning Company, Incorporated. They're located in Rolling Meadows, Illinois, a northwest suburb of Chicago. And Professional Cleaning Company is the World Sweeper Contractor of the Month for December 2011. Jim, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Tell us, if you would, those listening, about Professional Cleaning Company. Well, how did you get involved in power cleaning, power sweeping, and then we'll talk about the other places that your business has taken you as well.
Well, back when I was going to college, I spent a couple summers working at Arlington Park Racetrack for the housekeeping contractor who took care of cleaning the track, and I worked for the gentleman for a couple of years and during the summer when I was going to school. He then called me back up after I had finished. He was expanding his business, and he needed an ops manager. So I had just finished up, and I came on to work for him. This was 1984. He had just acquired some of these community-type shopping malls, not the big regionals, but these were more of a community-type, smaller, maybe 100,000, 200,000 square-foot malls. So he was expanding his business, and a couple months into it, one of our property managers came up to us and asked us to get started in the parking lot sweeping business. At the current time, there were a couple contractors in the area, but they weren't happy with them. They were looking for somebody that would not only sweep their parking lots, but since we had a background in janitorial, there was, you know, window washing, vacancy cleaning, and then it kind of expanded into more and more services, from parking lot striping to pressure washing to even we do electrical work. We have a lift truck, and we'll change bulbs and change ballasts and poles and so forth on building lights. We even, at this time of year, we're wrapping up our Christmas decoration installation. We do a lot of hanging lights on the trees, wreaths on the buildings, building lights, and so forth. When we started out just sweeping, we kind of grew into more and more different businesses.
Well, you're one of those companies that is really full service. You go on your website, and it looks like what a property manager might need is available to them through you in terms of exterior and many interior services. So I applaud you on that, and perhaps it's from coming, you know, from the janitorial side first and then adding in the sweeping that made it all make sense.
The property managers nowadays, they require a lot of, I would call it, on-site inspections on the properties, and we provide that to our customers at a no charge. We'll have people go out to the properties, and they will inspect the properties, not just for the cleaning, but if there are any maintenance items, damages to curbing or trees or any graffiti and stuff like that, we will report that on to the customer. We also will attach digital photos with it, too, so they can see it, and then we would quote whatever would be necessary to rectify that situation. That's something that has really allowed us to kind of find a little niche here that the other contractors weren't doing at the time. We found out now that it's getting to be more of a requirement that the customers are requesting that this type of service be done. And up here in the north, it's the time of year where heat checks are going to be required for riser rooms, vacancies, to make sure that the heat is working so we don't have any broken sprinklers or any situations like that where we have some cold weather damage just because of systems that haven't been maintained during the summer.
Well, that's one of the first times that I've heard that particular item talked about, so that makes perfect sense.
You know, we have customers that are out of state, so the properties that we're taking care of, they're far from, and we do have a couple customers that are, I guess you would call them service providers. They will source out all the different vendors for a management company's portfolio of properties. So I have one customer that's, you know, that we have properties here that is out in the, I think in Philadelphia area, and then another one in Cincinnati. So, I mean, we do have customers that don't have local management offices. So they do rely quite a bit on the information that we send to them regarding the certain situations with their properties. And in this time of year with the heat, it's a critical one. Certain systems have been down with their HVAC units in their vacancies. And, you know, it's definitely that, you know, when we come in this time of year, we check to make sure the heat is working, turn them on because they've been off all summer, get them all turned on, make sure everything is working, and then monitor that, too, because you never know when you have a situation. I mean, we've even had NICOR, a local gas company, come out and shut off gas to vacancy HVAC units because potentially maybe bills weren't paid or so forth, some oversight by that. And there's no heat in space. And, you know, when we get cold, they freeze up, and, you know, next thing you know, you've got water coming out the front door, and it's all, you know, freezing up and ice outside. So we've had a couple of those situations. We don't, and they usually don't happen at the most convenient time.
You bet. And it's so much more expensive there than having a service like yours that, you know, can make sure it doesn't happen. And I applaud you for that. That's really full-service contracting. Let's talk about, you know, since we are World Sweeper, let's talk about sweeping here. You looks like pretty much do all types of sweeping, although I don't see street sweeping really listed. You talk about construction and gravel, and you know, with the heavy broom sweeper, you can do street sweeping if it's needed. But is that an area that you've gone into?
Well, the street sweeping, we haven't really delved into that. Each of the local municipalities over the time have had their own equipment to handle their own streets. I found bidding on municipal jobs very price-oriented and basically annual contracts, and you could be awarded a contract 1 year, gear up with a bunch of equipment for it, and be outbid the next, and you're kind of left with all this extra equipment and no work. So we've kind of stayed away from the municipal sweepings. We do, you know, a lot, you know, we do a lot of retail, definitely. We do corporate facilities, office condominiums, and periodic sweepings, springtime sweepings with the heavy debris that's left over from the wintertime. Do that kind of sweeping. We'll do construction cleanups and, you know, in various unique situations. I've done church parking lots. I've done park district parking lots and their different facilities like that.
Well, again, I think that's a good analysis on your part. One of the things that sweeping contractors a lot of time want to do that I've seen over this couple decades that I've been involved working with contractors around the country is they say, okay, we've kind of got this parking lot thing down, let's expand. And a choice is indoor sweeping. You can do, you know, warehouse, get smaller machines, parking garage. Sometimes you have to buy sweepers that are lower to be able to do that. To get into other services like striping, seal coating, you know, janitorial, sign changeouts, and those kind of things, or go into street sweeping. And a lot of times they think, well, you know, I do parking lot sweeping. Why don't I go do street sweeping? And those are really apples and oranges. Like you say, you can be a one-year contract. You can, in a sense, be sabotaged. I've seen a lot of that, and I guess that's a strong word to use, but when the city decides to bid out its sweeping, a lot of times there are real resistance to change going on in the city, and they may be queuing up during your entire contract to get it back into the city. And, you know, that may include the inspectors for your job, for example. So there really are a lot of pitfalls, and as you say, it's very price sensitive. So as a result, I think it makes a lot more sense to do what you're doing here, which is to expand other services into your existing clientele. The notification, I'll go back to that for a minute. One of the things that recently added to the World Sweeper website was came from a contractor named Dave Roth at Millennium, and he's in Massachusetts. One of the things they do is to send out notifications for their drivers on nights like Thanksgiving or Halloween and so forth to really remember to be safe. At the same time, they send out notices all the time to their customers saying, while you're having your turkey dinner on Thanksgiving, for example, we'll be there 24/7, and if you need anything goes wrong, you know, call us. I really like the sound of what you're saying in terms of proactive contacting of your customers about, well, you know, what you might be able to help them with, what they may be having challenges. They may not have thought to, you know, check out all of their vacant buildings and vacant spaces and so forth to make sure the heat's on and so on. And it really is one of those things where when you help out one of your customers or prospects that way, they are going to remember it, and they will not be nearly as price sensitive to the cost per sweep that they would be otherwise. So it really seems like you have a good handle on.
It is something, like I said, it's kind of becoming SOP now that everybody's very liability sensitive. And I've had situations where I've had to be called in for deposition on slip and falls. So everybody wants to protect, as the owner of the property has the property manager. And then, so they're shielded. If there's something, a liability issue that the management company failed to respond to, then the owner would be shielded. And then the property manager then and their management company would have a little bit of protection. They would be requiring, you know, from the sweeping company, they would be requiring to report any type of hazards. And it's kind of a gray area. They say hazards, and that could be trip and falls. That could be a lot of different things. And it's just basically, you know, everyone wants to protect themselves with that. In addition to the reports that we send, we are also a 24-hour responding company. We don't have a answering machine or anything like that. Our phones, after hours and weekends, are answered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 a year, by a answering company that answers the phone that basically then will pass the information on. And we have various people that are on call, whether it's overnight or whether it's on the weekends. And we have a management company that has, I believe, around 40 to 45 different properties that they manage here. And they list my company as the emergency contact for their tenants. So anything after hours or anything over the weekend, if they have sewer backups, if they have roof leaks, anything relating to their tenant space, we are the people that are called upon. Now, some of these things, these incidents, they can be taken care of by us. Others can be referred on to the various contractors. For, you know, as I said, if there's a sewer backup, we have a listing of the different plumbing companies for the different properties, and we can coordinate getting the plumber out to repair anything regarding their sewer backup. Or if there's calls for roof leaks, we have listing of the roofing contractors that can go out, take care of the roof repair, and so forth. In addition to the active reporting, these emergency services that we provide after hours is another selling point that I have with new customers, that they can put our name down for their different properties as emergency contacts. And it's been a unique service, but it's been definitely one that I don't believe a lot of my competition is doing at this time.
Well, and to either do it or be capable of doing it, I think, is one way to look at that. And there's a high level of confidence that you're building with your customers by being able to not just handle the things that you handle, but to have to know that you're going to be able to reach a real person at any time. And that is one thing that allows you to get the calls on any topic. The other thing is to keep that you're organized enough to keep a list of everybody's plumber or everybody's electrical person or who else to call to keep them out of the loop on Thanksgiving, New Year's, other holidays, or even the middle of the night. Nobody likes being wakened up in the middle of the night, and to have that be part of your service, well, that's a different thing. And your customers have the confidence to know that whatever the problem is, you're not just going to drop the, you're not going to say, oh, they got a water leak, we don't do that, call a plumber in the middle of the night. You're going to, you know, do what it takes to get that handled, and that again is a real good way to have your customers stick with you.
That's been a really big selling point, and it's a huge point on client and customer retention, that they have to understand that if they go out for bids and, you know, for the sweeping and they find another contractor that might be less expensive, they may have to think twice about it. Well, if, you know, can this other company fulfill, you know, all these different services that PCC is providing for me? And that may be in certain situations where they may take my bid if it's a little higher than a competitor of mine. They may, I will take the higher bid, but I'm taking it on knowing that this company here is providing a lot more services. That may not be something that is done routinely, but when that situation comes in, historically, they know that if PCC is handling the call, they know it's going to be handled properly.
That makes perfect sense, that you would want to do that as a customer. How could you not? And what you're saying is that you're providing a value-added price for your cost per sweep, and you may never need it, but what if you do? Schwartz Industries, back when I was more involved with them, a contractor one time was doing a demo, and he tried to miss, there was a brick on the ground, he tried to miss it and didn't. He ended up running over it, and darn if it didn't go into the hopper. So, of course, immediately after his demo for the customer, he called the powers that be at Schwartz, and we ended up putting a marketing campaign around that, you know, the sweeper that would pick up a brick, and probably you won't have to pick up a brick, but if you needed to, that's the point. And that's really what we're talking about here, is that, you know, you may never need to call us in the middle of the night. Your tenants may not need to either, but if they needed to, here's who, you know, you've got somebody in place. So that's huge, I think. Jim, I haven't asked what type of sweeping equipment you run. What is it that you use, single or twin engine?
I'm primarily a Schwartz sweeper. You know, I started with two Timcos, but then ever since then, I've been going strictly Schwartz. I have, for my heavy work, I have A7000 truck, and then I do have several, you know, all the newer ones that have been coming out have all been the single engines. I even have a single engine mounted on a standard chassis. So I do have some properties that routinely I sweep that do have parking decks that I do have clearance issues. So I think I have four what I call shorties, but they're just basically 343Ds with the dual engines, and then a 233 with the single engine, all on standard chassis.
The 343D is obviously a diesel. Is the other single engine a gas or a diesel?
233 only came in the gas version, and that's my only gas truck. All the rest of my trucks, historically, have all been diesel trucks, diesel engines.
Well, it used to be when, you know, diesel was less expensive and really lasted a lot longer than gasoline, but I think those days are gone.
Actually, I'm fortunate from the standpoint that I have a local oil supply company. I can go over there to his location and fill up, and I don't have to deal with going out to retail areas to try to, you know, fuel up, because you're talking 10, 11, 12 trucks a night. That can be a lot of diesel that they can just go right over there, fill up, and then I get a weekly invoice, and then, you know, and it keeps track of the gallons that I use and so forth like that. So, in a matter of fact, too, it's one of the things we've entered into this past couple of years, when we had the big increase in the fuel prices, is we entered into contracts at the beginning of the season so that we were purchasing a certain amount of gallons per month based on future projected costs for the fuel. And it's turned out to be, you know, it does a lot of help with projecting what your fuel costs and usages are going to be for the upcoming year. So it kind of, you know, when you get to budget times, it kind of gives you a good heads up on potentially what your fuel costs are going to be.
Well, that makes good sense. That form of an insurance, in a sense, that you just want to take the uncertainty out of running your business, and that lets
you
forecast the plan.
Yeah, you know, when you had those huge, you know, a couple of years ago, when you had those huge spikes in the fuel costs, I don't know how others, I know others potentially handled it by a fuel service charge that they would pass on, but I had a lot of resistance to that. I only did it, I think, the 1 year, and it was a 2008, I think it was, when it was really high. It was something that I know I get those charges from my suppliers, delivery charges and fuel surcharges and stuff like that. Trying to pass that on to my customers has been a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah, and there sure have been a lot of price increases going on. Well, I'm glad I asked that question. Let's talk about your employee leasing program. How did you get involved with that? Do you still do that? And what are the advantages or potential pitfalls that you've seen?
We've been doing it for a while on a smaller scale until, I would say, May of 2009, where a customer of ours, a longtime customer of ours, wanted, let me put it this way, they had a housekeeping staff that had union implications, and they wanted to try to separate themselves from the union, so they wanted me to come in and kind of be the buffer. And basically what we would do is all the employees in this housekeeping staff would become technically PCC employees. They would have PCC applications and all the paperwork as far as an employment. They would work at the location. They would be supervised by the customer's supervisory staff. But then all the basic information and activities regarding running individual payroll would fall on us. We would basically run the payroll for them. All the subsequent documents, W-2s and so forth, would be issued to all the employees. All the withholdings and would be taken care of. We would produce checks every week for them, deliver them. In essence, they would, you know, they would not have the employees and the cost of employees as far as the processing, you know, having human resource people that would have to, you know, collect all the timesheets and time cards and process that and create the payroll checks and distribute them. You know, they're now all farming that out to my company. We charge fees, obviously, for the processing and the production of the payroll checks, and then they're delivered. And it's become a nice situation for both parties. The fees are generated, and it's just basically payroll processing. Since we do have union implications with this particular location, we have to negotiate the agreements for these employees with the unions that are involved. And that can be a kind of a sticky situation at times, if you understand what I mean, dealing with unions and so forth.
It is difficult. They've certainly had a place in U.S. history and in strengthening the relationship that workers can have with companies. But like so many things in our society, I think there have certainly been instances of going overboard these days, especially, too. So we look back in history at what has happened, and a lot of very positive things, you know, over the years can kind of get to where they're not quite as positive anymore, at least
you
some
know,
instances.
There's, you know, historically, you know, the unions are definitely have the employees' welfare in mind, but, you know, they also have to be sensitive to the individual industries that they are providing. They're representing the different labor pools in these different industries, and sometimes it takes a little bit of banging on the table to, you know, hey, look, you know, this industry is hurting here. It's not like it was 5 years ago when this, you know, in this economic downturn that we're in. They have to be sensitive to that from the standpoint that if they're not sensitive to the industry's plight that they're in right now, the facility could simply close up and shut the doors. Both sides would lose. The employees would lose because the plant closed, and then the facility or the plant would lose because they closed the doors.
Well, and I think to speak to that kind of realism is very important. A lot of contractors out there are negotiating with some aspect of of their business to be union, sometimes when it's construction sweeping, for example, state, federal, local highways, DOTs, and those kinds of things. Sometimes you have to pound on the table, which is a way of saying you've got to really get their attention to say, look, let's get away from the rhetoric and talk about the reality of this situation. I think that's good advice. Is there any other advice you'd give to those who are negotiating with unions for an aspect of their business?
Well, Chicago historically has been a big union city. And in my history with janitorial work, any type of work in the city is basically union. You can be an alternative to a customer looking to try to use another contractor as an alternative. They could be a non-union, but they also have to be aware of the potential downfall with them trying to go with the non-union in a union shop. And anybody wanting to become a union contractor, historically, it's just been a necessity for ours for the various locations that we've been working at that have been union, and it's just been something that's kind of continued on. The owners of the facilities, they understand it. They accept it. It's just a cost of business. It's just a way of doing business, particularly in this area here, in certain aspects. Now, I have not been required to unionize any of my sweeper drivers, which that would have been the case if I would have had to. I probably would have had to close my doors because I would not be able to compete with competitors who are non-union.
And I've seen some of that happening, especially in California, where there were unions in some aspects of the business, and then they're having so many different equipment challenges out there with what you can and can't run as equipment, and it gets complicated, that's all. It's very complex, and time being money, that's an expense, but then also the payment side of it and the tracking side of it is an expense as well. So, well, anyway, I wish you and other contractors out there doing your business both ways the very best, and I guess with that, let's move on to another topic. Have you found a difference in the greater Chicago market in terms of how you can find employees? I mean, is there any magic bullets that have shown up on the social networking or, you know, website? Or do you have enough turnover that it really, you know, makes a difference? Is it a big deal to have to get new people, or is it not? Is Craigslist it out there, or how do you do it?
A majority of my employees are minorities, whether Hispanic, Eastern European, and so forth. Going through these, these social networks and these different avenues, I've more, just paid attention to just kind of basic, kind of resourcing my existing employees to find new employees. I mean, I find that I get a lot of response, and particularly when I have openings and stuff, I usually get a lot of response from my existing employees who have a relative, a friend who's looking for work, that the word will get out, and it's kind of spread that way. Occasionally, if I have a opening in at a remote area that I can potentially find a new employee from an existing employee out in that area, and if I'm not that lucky, then I might have to go with newspaper ads. I'll go with the local Hispanic newspaper, as opposed to like the large, in this area, the Chicago Tribune or something like that. I'll go with local papers, for example, one out in Aurora, or there's a suburban newspaper, and I'll try to highlight the location in the area or the suburb of where this opening is, and try to kind of focus my my search in that particular area. Sometimes it'll take a little bit, but the first avenue of going with our existing employees to help me find existing or find new employees that way has kind of been a real good reliable area that I don't have to basically come up with, you know, trying to find somebody completely that I don't know about. So that's kind of been my bread and butter over the years, is referrals from my existing employees.
Well, there are some real reasons why a referral, especially I think relatives, will want to work hard and do a good job and not let the other person down, because, you know, they're a friend, they're a relative, word gets out among your mutual friends and your mutual relatives of that, you know, you got this job and then you let the employer down. And
That is exactly right. You know, I give them a little monetary a bonus if they do refer somebody that does come on and stay on for an extended period of time. But yeah, that really hits to the heart of that. They, you know, if they're going to refer somebody, that they want to make sure that person that they're referring is going to be a quality individual, is not going to come in and work a day and, oh, I don't like it and I'm not showing up anymore. So they will take their time and really evaluate that prospective employee to make sure that he is an individual with character that, just like I said, is, you know, he can, you know, he can, the current employee can explain to him, you know, all the ins and outs based on his experiences. And
if he is well trained, then now the new guy is kind of trained.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I'm going to hire another sweeper driver, my best trainers are my existing drivers, you know, and they can go in and fill them in and answer any question that this prospective employee might have.
And we may add, they can answer any questions in their native language rather than their second language.
That is true, too. That is true, too.
Well, I like that. And you talk about also that's your best source for new business, too, is word of mouth. And I think that when people come right out and say that on their website, in their brochures or whatever, it does a couple things. One is it opens up your existing customers to be asked the question of who else do you know that would be a good fit for us to maybe work with them as well. And the other thing that it does is to really show that you have, you know, longevity, you have good quality, the customers are willing to brag about the contractor that they have currently. And I think that's a big one, too. So I also applaud you for, you know, having word of mouth being in kind of a prominent way that you list to get customers.
At the beginning, I was always taught that the property management business was a very small kind of group. And I have found that managers are transient also. They will move from property management company to management company. And they will take their Rolodex and their list of various contractors from one management company to another. And then that, you know, and usually what will happen is they will give you a call and say, hey, look, I'm now with this company and I have these properties and I need, you know, to get quotes. And it just kind of goes from there. And again, that's just all servicing them over the period of time, and then when they move, your service is taken along, new doors are open, you know, that's how you get your expansion. We don't have any type of formalized sales staff. Truthfully, we don't go out a lot of cold calling or cold mailings or emailings and so forth like that. A lot of our stuff is referral. Managers talk between themselves with different companies. Hey, who do you got doing this? Or I got this situation. Who do you have doing that? Well, they say call this guy up. Call that guy up. So, you have to understand that, and then it's just basically your service has been the catalyst to keep you going and expanding to various new management companies.
Well, and to go back on something you said here, about how management companies move, and I agree completely that these managers move and go to new management companies and take their Rolodexes, and I've seen that phenomena over and over and over. And I want to talk to the contractors out there that just sweep, or just sweep and maybe do one or two other things. What you're not doing that the gym and professional cleaning company is doing here is you're not leveraging your existing customers to where you can really handle all of their or many of their services and so forth. But a place that this really becomes important is what you just said. Now your current property manager for X number of properties moves on, and he calls up and says, well, you know, I used to work for Apex Company, and now I work for, Baldwin Company, and would like you to bid on the Baldwin Company properties. That's easy for him to do with you, Jim, because you have all of these services that you do. Tenants can call you in the middle of the night, and you'll solve their problems. That's very difficult to replicate, and when he came from Acme to Baldwin, probably a lot of those contractors were not doing that now, whereas you can. So it's a lot easier for him to come to you, and now he'll look like a hero because you're going to provide this added basket of benefits to him in his new position. And at the same time, another guy just took over at Acme, where he had left. That guy is going to have a more difficult time with his Rolodex and his contractors to replace the same service level that you are now providing. So you have a much better opportunity to keep the new business of the property manager who leaves, and at the same time have a better opportunity to keep the business of the place he left.
Right. You know, and it also extends into this, quote, bundled service era that we're kind of getting into, where the property managers, and I know this from direct situation, where they just want to make the one call that will handle the sweeping, the pressure washing, the landscaping, the snow removal. They want to make that one call. They don't want to have to call potentially four different vendors for each of their different properties. So, you know, you got 10 properties, you got 40 different vendors that you're going to have a whole, you know, phone list for. They just want to make that one call. Now, the people that they call, they may not be performing all the different activities from the snow, from the pressure washing, from the landscape, but what they, you know, what you're looking, they're looking for is the company's organization and structure, so that all these different services, whether they're not they're being performed or whether they're not, but they're also being monitored and evaluated to make sure that this particular customer is getting the proper quality service that he's paying for. But it just makes it a lot easier for them to have one person, you know, one person's number saved in their cell phone, so that they only have to make one call. Doesn't matter what service it is, doesn't matter what property it is.
And in my experience, they don't really care as much whether you do the service or not. They want to get it handled. And if you're clear about whether you're doing the service or you're contracting it out or whatever you're doing, then there's no misunderstanding. So
no, as long as you're providing, you know, pretty much if you're providing the insurance that all those different services are being covered and your limits are covered, they don't care who's actually doing the work. Obviously, you know, they want to have quality work done, and, you know, they want to be calling because of substandard work. If that's the case, then you, as your this bundled service leader, you won't be with them either. They will hire up somebody else that will bundle all their services together. So, yeah, I've had that experience recently with a management company that their properties, and that's what they wanted to do. And, you know, with all these service providers that are out there, it seems to be the potentially the wave of the future. I mean, they had some issues earlier, but it doesn't seem to be a situation that's going to go away.
Well, and the reality of it is, I think, too, in terms of selling your customers on that concept, is that you are working, let's talk about, let's say, striping your parking lot. The guy's going to stripe his parking lot every few years, and so he's got to go out and find the contractor. Maybe they've changed, maybe the management's changed with the old company, it's not as good, or, you know, that sort of thing. There's no way for him to know. But in terms of a sell that you have is that, you know, you're getting parking lots striped all the time because you have a variety of customers that you are using the same person or same company to do that striping, as an example. And so, you know, not only are you going to have a better chance of being up on who's doing a good job currently in the neighborhood, but likelihood is if there were going to be complaints happening, they would have happened to you in the last couple of years since, you know, since the customer had their parking lot striped. And furthermore, the company you're using, it's in their best interest to really make sure they have a good job on the work that is being subbed from you, because they don't just lose a contract. They lose periodic contracts throughout the year. So
yes,
it does make sense.
Yeah, you have to be kind of a proven commodity in this line. And that is, again, if you're doing the work or if you have a sub doing the work, you have to be proven. I do use some sweeping contractor subs in some of these locations that, you know, truthfully, you know, from my office here in Rolling Meadows, it's a long journey, so I can't, you know, be economically competitive to service that property directly. You know, I would have to go out and hire up a contractor in that particular area. And you know, I've had to do that. It's worked out. The contractors that I've, you know, been dealing with, we're on the same page and the same understanding of the situation. And they're not trying to, you know, to gouge me in because, you know, they know that, well, if they don't use me, then he's going to have to do it himself, and he's going to have to drive 2.5 hours to get there, and you know, spend all that money on fuel and so forth. So, you know, I could throw him some business, just like we talked about earlier with his additional services that we do. I can throw some of that business his way too. So it's kind of a win-win for both.
Right. It does turn out that way, and I think that touches on a topic of knowing who your worthy competitors are, you know, in an area, in the outlying areas, and so forth. And, you know, theoretically, an organization like NAPSA is good for that. And there are others, you know, and I'll put a plug in for World Sweeper, for, you know, our contractor locator area. The customer can know that at least everybody there has signed in writing an ethics statement that they do all the standard ethical things of standard business practices. And that gives it, you know, a leg up to at least start the conversation with an outlying contractor that you may need to work with.
I had that situation not long ago, less than a month ago, where an existing customer of mine said that her company is acquiring some properties in Houston. And she's calling me, and she says, "Do you know anybody in the Houston area?" And I'm like, "Let me look. I'll call you back tomorrow." And I went ahead and went online to your site and also to NAPSA. I mean, I don't have any personal direct contact with any contractors in the area, but I knew that the contractors that would be listed in the locator in your site and in NAPSA would be solid contractors that would be worthy of the recommendation. And that's what I did. I referred her on to a couple of them in the area. And last time I talked to her, she's working with both of them as far as generating proposals and so forth. So the locator is a very good resource that we can use when we have these situations where we have customers in remote areas, you know, from here, that are looking for assistance.
Yeah, it just makes sense. You're one level heads up than you would be, looking in the Yellow Pages or something like that. Well, we've talked about a lot of things about your business, and I'm not sure what kinds of things you might want to bring up on your own. I wanted to ask you if you put one person in a truck or if you put two. Do you have a dedicated backpack blower, cleanup, change out?
I do both.
Uh-huh, okay.
I do both. I do, but what I also do, and historically this is what kind of got us started, was since we did have a janitorial background and dealing with employees and so forth like that, we did a lot of hiring as far as what we call a groundskeeper, and that's an individual that is local to the property that will go out and clean the property. And it usually would be in the morning, part-time, depending upon the size of the property. When we first started out, our competition was basically two people in the truck. They would go out to a property, whether it was 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and they would spend their time there, and they would leave. Now, this was at the day and age when there was a lot of 24-hour stores open and going on. So when they were coming in and clean at 2 o'clock in the morning, when the rest of the center opened up, usually 9, 10 o'clock the next day, you never know what you get. You know, you can get, you can have a 24-hour fast food outlet right out front, and, you know, on a Friday or a Saturday night, the place could be full, and they'll be eating their late-night meals in your parking lot and dumping all the stuff on the ground. So the next day, you know, you never know if it was clean. So this is what kind of got us going in this stuff, was our experience dealing with employees. So we were set up to go with a groundskeeper for the property, and then we would have a fleet of sweeper trucks that they would go out each night and they would sweep. We had properties that had trash generators that required 7-day sweeping. Maybe we had one that had a lot of soft goods, and maybe, you know, 2 or 3 times a week instead of the full 7 days that we would sweep it. And then the individual groundskeeper, he would take care of the walks and the cans and the landscape. There's really no special tool that you use to pick debris out of bushes and stuff than your hand. So it was a lot of labor intensive. But it was something that we did that was different at the time that basically kind of caught us on. Nowadays, we're finding that when we do get proposals, a lot of the properties are specifying that they want to have what they would call a porter on the property for a certain amount of time, and then maybe a once a week with the truck sweep. So we've been kind of adapting with that. Again, very labor intensive with the individual, 7 days a week, a certain number of hours a day, and then it would be supplemented with the sweeper truck. We do have, so we would have single driver trucks going out on different routes. We also had different routes that required two individuals. Sometimes the location and sometimes the size of the property, it's not beneficial to hire somebody for a small amount of time. It could get to a point where the individual would spend more money just getting to the location than they would, doing the actual work. So in those situations, in those particular routes, we'll have the sweeper truck and the guy with the blower and the two-man team, as we call it. They would be taking care of everything at those particular locations. I've always historically, if you're going to send a truck out there to a particular location, I would rather it go and run, as many hours as they can each night shift, instead of going to a location, stop and parking while the guy is blowing the walks off, while the guy is hand picking his stuff and the truck just sits. So
your payment? You mean you think your payment every month is still going on while the truck is sitting there idling at the curb?
Oh yeah.
That's the key.
As it sits there in aisles, I'm still using gas, I'm still paying insurance, I'm still paying, the payment on the truck, and when it sits there. So I mean, if a guy goes out on and our guys go out 4 days, 10 hours. So out of a 10-hour shift, you try to minimize the travel time, but out of the work hours, that whether it's 6 or 7 hours out of 10, that the actual work time, you want that truck to be running. I don't want it to be sitting there, and then out of 7 hours of work, maybe it's only actually operating, you know, 4 or 5 out of the 7, mm-hmm. where the other hour and a half, 2 hours, it's sitting.
And do you use GPS? Have you found a need to go to that?
Yeah, yes, we have. We have our trucks, you know, are hooked up with, we have both a passive and an active system. We've had a couple situations where we've had to, a customer has questioned whether the truck came in, and I went ahead and pulled up the report that day and emailed a copy to them and says, it shows, you know, the location, it shows the time they got there, the time they finished.
Makes perfect sense, especially if there's a slip and fall or a customer doesn't think you've been there because somebody's emptied their ashtray, you know, in their parking space last night just before, after you swept and before they got
I've had situations with that, you'll get a call and they say, well, nobody's been out here in a week. And I'm like, I says, are you kidding me? They say, you know, let me not do it a day and you can see what it would look like after a day. You want to start telling me that we haven't done it in a week, you know.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. I just, okay. All right, just kind of move on from that and kind of bite my tongue a little bit.
You have to at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else we should talk about? This has been a very nice overview of not only your company, but the philosophy of a full-service sweeping contractor. And, I very much appreciate it, and I think it'll make for good listening to the sweeping contractor audience.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, and I hope that it does shed some insight to anybody, you know, wanting to look at how, at this day and age, trying to expand our businesses.
Well, I think for people that are sweeping contractor wannabes to get an idea of the kinds of things that you found to be important and that, you know, what it takes to really be a full-service contractor, some of the advantages to that. You know, the disadvantages, of course, your phone might ring in the middle of the night and you'd have to go out and sweep or whatever.
Well, you know, when you get those situations, and those are few and far between, I can accept that.
You bet.
It's always been the philosophy that, and it's another selling point that I tell all these, prospective new customers, that if you look at the different services that vendors provide for your property, okay, you have your landscapers. Now, landscapers are seasonal, from March to November, at least up here. Your snow removal, again, seasonal, and only when it snows. Electrical, they're only called when there's a problem. The only vendor that is out there routinely, year-round, is your sweeping company.
I couldn't think of a better place to leave it.
Great.
So let's do that. We've been speaking with Jim Weinberg, and he is the president of Professional Cleaning Company Incorporated. They're located in a suburb of Chicago and are the World Sweeper, very well-deserved contractor of the month for December 2011. Thanks again, Jim.
Thank you, Ranger. I appreciate it.